From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Tomorrow, it will be Democrat Barack Obama's turn to officially announce that he's running for president. The junior senator from Illinois will make his declaration in front of the old state capitol in Springfield, Illinois. Next week, Republican Mitt Romney will have his moment in front of the cameras, not in Massachusetts, the state he governed, but in Michigan, the state his father led. The coming weeks will likely see a number of such announcements, each one carefully crafted to enhance the candidate's image, and each location chosen to get the campaign off to a good start. Syndicated columnist Jules Whitcover has written about presidential politics since the 1960s, and he sees these kind of announcements as pure theater.
Candidates usually have their announcement in their home state to keep peace with the home folks, but often they find other places, particularly in the television era, hoping to have some locale that will give them some kind of a boost. But that seldom makes much difference one way or the other.
How important is it in sort of setting a tone and making sure that a campaign sort of launches with enough wind in their sails?
Well, I think a lot of candidates think that. That's the reason that Senator John Edwards went down to Louisiana and kicked off his campaign there, to show that he's running on a populist theme, show himself as somebody who's concerned about the little people.
You've been covering politics for a long time, one of the folks that I guess was referred to as the boys on the bus for many years. What are some of the more memorable announcements?
Well, I remember the John Kennedy's announcement, which was in the Senate caucus room at the Capitol. That was a very memorable one because he was such a young man and so charismatic and so on. But to me, probably the most memorable one was his brother's, Robert Kennedy's, announcement 8 years later in the same Senate caucus room. It was memorable because it created kind of a sense of return to the nostalgia of Camelot. It was also a challenge to a sitting president, Lyndon Johnson. And anybody who was paying any attention to politics knew that Lyndon Johnson and Robert Kennedy were bitter enemies.
And then going ahead a few years, Richard Nixon announced by letter, sending a letter to the people of the state of New Hampshire, a novel approach.
It was in 1968. He wanted to make run a different kind of campaign, considering the fact that he lost in 1960, and he wanted to show that he was a new Nixon. He was several new Nixons along the way. One of the things he did, indeed, was to send letters to every registered Republican in the state of New Hampshire, and had it timed to coincide with his arrival in the state to start his campaign for the New Hampshire primary, which he won.
When you look back over history, as you go through the list of presidential announcements, Birch Bayh announced while sitting on a tractor in his Indiana.
Yes, he liked to present himself as just an old country boy from Indiana, and he had a very colorful announcement on his farm. In fact, he even said in his announcement that he would much rather be there than running for president.
I guess that turned out to be a good thing.
Well, actually, he bowed out of the race, and so he got his wish. Uh-huh.
Does anybody remember these announcements, the speeches? I mean, when you look back over great speeches that politicians give, you often look at the convention speeches or the acceptance speeches, but not necessarily the announcement.
They're not the kinds of speeches that are intended to be remembered. They're not the kind of speeches in which the candidates are going to make big announcements or big promises. It's more just a celebration. And for that reason, they're not memorable at all.
It's been good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Nice to talk to you.
Jules Whitcover has reported on presidential campaigns since the 1960s. He now writes a column syndicated by the Chicago Tribune.